Good morning. So this morning we're reading from Job chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. So we're covering the topic of someone who accepts you exactly as you are. Right, there's going to be a different angle on this. So we're going to read through it forwards. And as we go, we just let the Holy Spirit lead us. Right. It's quite a bit of italics in this, right? So I'm going to skip that, right? Not an appointed time to man upon earth? Question mark. Not an appointed time to man upon earth? Question mark. So it is a question, and it could be a number of things in the beginning. But in truth, what it's saying is that there is an appointed time to man upon earth. Now that can have a number of different meanings, right? It could be for an individual, and it could be for mankind, where mankind has an appointed time on earth. And it can also be the view of you have certain appointments in your life where you are to make a distinct difference. And when I say distinct difference, we're making a difference every day. We live, we breathe, we're an example. People notice us. People ask us questions, we answer them. People see how we behave. All of these things are appointments along our life where other people get to see us, get to understand what it is that we're doing, get to see the reality and truth of us, right? And so we have this appointment in multiple ways, in multiple areas of our lives. And then it carries on and it says, his days also like the days of a hireling. Well, what are the days of a hireling like? When you're hired for a job, you can get fired anytime. You don't belong to the family. And so effectively it means that your end state is not guaranteed. Your time for when you leave is not guaranteed. His days also like the days of a hireling. Well, what was mankind originally hired for? Hired in inverted commas, right? Why did God originally make man? Well, it was to take care of the planet. That's why God created us. He said, I will make man in our image, and then I'll give them dominion over everything. And then he said, go forth and multiply and subdue the earth. That is the job and the function of man. We are all gardeners. We are all supposed to be taking care of the planet in one way, shape, or form. And in a sense, those people who are studying like oceanography or geology or any of the kind of studies around how to take care of the planet, these are good things. You know, people taking care of animals and botany and all of these different aspects of how to look after things. That's all commendable, right? We're supposed to be doing that. And that's what God put us on this planet for, originally. And of course, we kind of gave the planet away to Satan, which really wasn't smart. But anyway, we fell for his tricks. Verse 2. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Now we know that this is Job talking. We know that he's in the midst of a trial. Satan is really trying to cause him to blaspheme against God, right? And here Job is talking about the fact that so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. And when we think about this, what is he really saying? Now bear in mind, he's sitting on an ash heap, he's scraping pottery, he's got a piece of pottery, he scrapes his boils and everything, he's in pain. He's got various people now sitting around him, talking to him, but they're really not helping. They're actually talking about all the things that he must have done wrong, right? So his friends are absolutely not accepting him as he is. They are saying that, Job, you must have done something really bad for God to be doing this to you. And we know that at the end of the book of Job, actually that wasn't the case. Job had done absolutely nothing wrong. And this trial was actually proof to Satan that Job was a righteous person, but it was also an act where God took Job through his fear so that he wouldn't be afraid anymore. And through his fear, in other words, he did lose everything because that was what he was afraid of. But God took him through that and then still blessed him again afterwards. But by taking him through it, Job overcame it. Right? So am I made to possess months of vanity. Well, what does that mean? He wasn't just on that ash heap for a couple of days. He had been there for a number of months. He was a homeless, hobo, unshaven, dirty, covered in boils, probably rejected even by the other people on the rubbish dump. He was in pain, he was suffering, he used to be such an important person, and now absolutely destroyed. And he says, so am I made to possess months of vanity. How does he possess months of vanity? To be vain means to think about yourself and to consider yourself important. Well, how can he possibly be thinking of himself as important in terms of being vain here? He's not being vain to say, wow, look at me, I'm great, and all the rest of it, right? He's possessing the months of vanity. He is thinking during these months. He's thinking of all the vain things he has always set up as so important. He's thinking of the things that he put forward in the past as being important. Right? He's thinking of the things that he took for granted, which he now no longer has. And so he's possessing over months. Thinking about the vanity that he had considered for himself. So he wasn't a perfectly humble person. He was righteous, yes. But he looks back at the life and everything that he had and saying, well, that's just vanity. Solomon said the same thing. Life is vanity. And then he says, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Why was it wearisome? Well, we learn later that he actually was plagued by dreams. He was scared and frightened by dreams. Satan was hitting him from every angle. He would be frightened at night, and during the day he would feel all this pain and shame and all the rest of it. Yet, he did not curse God, did not reject God. But he is talking about the reality that he is facing, right? And he's being real with himself. Sometimes, someone who accepts you exactly as you are needs to be you. You need to look at your life really truthfully and really honestly and say, well, actually, who am I really? What am I really? What do I really have? And how is that playing into who I'm supposed to be? Where's this gap between who I think I should be and who I really am? How do I address that? And you will find that as you think through these things, you start to recognize that, you know what? There's things God really needs to fix in you. And at this point in time, you've got a big gap to go through. We go into verse 4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. So, it's often the case when there's something God wants you to address that you don't have peace. But you don't have peace because you're not facing it. You're not being honest and truthful with yourself. You're not looking at it and saying, okay, so what am I really going to do to address this? Right? What am I really going to do? How do I face this and do what I know I should do rather than do what everybody else says I should be doing? How do I address this? But to get to that point, you have to accept who you really are. You've got to look at yourself and be completely honest and blatant with yourself and blunt. You know, often other people will say to you, by the way, you shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't be like that, or you shouldn't do those things. Most of the time, what happens is when people say that, we tend to reject it. We tend to reject it because we don't want to believe that we're like that, right? But you have to look at yourself and say, well, hang on, who am I really? Is what this person's saying true? Am I really like that? Do I really use the Lord's name in vain? You think about it and say, you know what, maybe I do. Or am I, you know, the person says, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Well, when a person says that, you need to stop and think, well, either they don't understand what a Christian is, or maybe I'm not seeing something in myself that I thought was okay, and maybe it's not okay. And you need to stop and look at yourself. And this is an ongoing thing, right? You've got to accept exactly. You've got to accept yourself as you are. But you've got to take yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, this is who I am. This is what I am at the moment. It's not who I want to be, right? But I accept the fact that this is who I am. And I bring myself to you and I say, Lord, can you please do the things that you need to do in me? I accept that I am this. I accept that I lie. I accept that I've been cheating. I accept that I've been blaspheming. I accept that I've been a bad role model. I accept all these things that I really am. I accept that that's who I am right now. It's not who I want to be. It's not, Lord, who I know you want me to be. But I accept and I face the fact that that's who I am. Lord, I know I'm really not good with money. So I accept that that's who I am. I'm really not good with money. Lord, show me how to be good with money. Show me how to overcome this. Show me how to get rid of my debts. Show me how to stand in the face of temptation to go and spend and all that. Show me how to do that. Show me how to not go to the fridge all the time and get food. Show me how to, and you ask the Lord, but you first have to accept who you really are. You need to have a good, long, hard look at yourself and say, yeah, that's me. It's not who I want to be. And remember, when you say that's me, you're not saying that's me, the spirit. You're saying that's me. That's my earth suit. That's how my earth suit is behaving. This is not the way it should be behaving. Lord, show me how I can take control of this earth suit and I can make it do what it's supposed to do and not fall into this trap anymore. It could be around the opposite sex, right? And your physical urges of your earth suit. It could be all sorts of things like that. It could be how you really want your child to succeed above everybody else to the point whereby you drive them and drive them to succeed. You're really not giving them a beautiful life, are you? This is all about you now. You're trying to have a beautiful life because you're trying to be able to be boasting about all the amazing things that your child can do, and your child can do this and your child can do that. And you're living through them, but you're putting them under such pressure. And that's not a life for a child to have either. It's often the case when a person gets old enough when they're like this that they could just say, you know what, I actually don't want to be around my parents anymore because they've actually just sucked me dry. You need to look at yourself and say, is this really me? And there's so many other things. Look at the Ten Commandments and be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. And then accept that that is who you are right now. Right? Not you, the Spirit, because you've given your heart to Jesus. And if you haven't, well, then you better, because otherwise you're in big trouble, right? But if you accept that this is how your earth suit has been controlling you, you can at least say, I accept that this is how my earth suit has been confusing me. If you think that you're supposed to be the opposite sex and you're not, and that's bringing in confusion, and there's many other kinds of confusions, but that's bringing in confusion, well, it's your earth suit. It's not you, the spirit. You've got to tell your earth suit to get back in line. That's what you've got to do. You've got to tell your earth suit to get back in line because it's got it wrong. It has it wrong. Once you've accepted that that's who you are right now, you bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, help. Help, I do not want my earth suit out of control. Tell me, show me, lead me, guide me. Show me how not to go into temptation. Show me what to do and how to do it. Lead me, please, Lord. Show me your truth. And that's what you do. That's what you do. Let's read this again. It's Job chapter 7, verse 1 to 4. Not an appointed time to man upon earth. His day is also like the days of a hireling. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. Well, guys, not sure what the Holy Spirit's talking to you about. But you can make your notes and score yourself. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.